Well met, and welcome to episode 10, the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for August 30th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings. This is Bill Walthall, and this week we're going to wrap up our month-long discussion of Titus Andronicus with my ideal cast for the play and a couple of directorial concepts. But let's start off with our monthly administrative announcement. Hey, there were no entries again this month for our contest. Come on, people, if anyone had entered, that anybody would have won. Jeez, you guys must really hate those Bill Shakespeare Project t-shirt prizes. How else to explain the complete and utter dearth of entries? Oh yeah, almost nobody's read the play. Not this month or last month. Well, next month, all of that changes, because we all know something about the Taming of the Shrew, right? Anyway, let me begin with the folks whose feet would be on the stage. How would I cast my play? It's a good question. For the two main characters, and for me that's Titus and Tamara, there are two routes, physical versus intellectual. For a physical, more imposing, obviously warlike Titus, I'd pick Liam Neeson. He's huge, he towers, and as witnessed in Taken, he does physical very, very well. But to counter that, you need a physical Tamara. And for me, I'd have to go with Angelina Jolie. Physical, wild, dangerous to even look at, and what to look at. Saturninus or just about any male would go for. You can ask Jennifer Aniston about that. For a more intellectual, more emotional route, I'd have to go with Alan Rickman as Titus. Now, he would be a weaker Titus, but one who could play the role as tired, as one who really wants to put his sword away. For a more devious, less obviously physically dangerous Tamara, I'd go with Laura Linney. If you've seen her in John Adams, you can attest to her strength. And if you've seen her performance in Mystic River, then you know that she can play ruthless, and she cleans up nice too. Now for Lavinia, I'd go with Emma Watson. She's young, I know, but that's how I see Lavinia. For me, Lavinia is still in her teens. That youth makes her ordeal all the more grotesque. Watson's attractive, which is a big plus, as she's pursued by a number of the younger male characters. But more importantly, she has become an incredibly good actress over the course of the first six Harry Potter films. Now, for the crucial role of Aaron, I'd pick Anthony Mackie. He first came to my attention in We Are Marshall, where he played the player Nate Ruffin. More recently, he's had a lead role in Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker. He was magnificent, strong, coiled. The only question I have is, can he play the humor in Aaron? But I'm not too concerned. I've got that much confidence in him based on what I've seen. What I am concerned about is my choice for Saturninus, Robert Pattinson. I'm worried that he's too much of a pretty boy and not enough of a talent to pull off the role. But I like his youth. And his physical slightness, in my view, is a good visual metaphor for the character's own weaknesses. Plus, he just looks, again in my eyes, like an egotistical little brat. Now, as for Saturninus' younger brother Bassianus, I see Daniel Radcliffe. He's becoming a solid, if not mind-blowing, actor, and the plus to him is that the casting would give all those Potter fans who wanted to see a Harry-Hermione romance a great little gift. Now, as for Titus' son Lucius, I'd go with Josh Hartnett. He can play tough, see Black Hawk Down, and he's a little older than either Saturninus or Bassianus, so you can see how he could immediately take a seat on the imperial throne at the end of the play. Finally, I don't have any actors selected for Chiron and Demetrius. I just know that I want Chiron to be around age 14 to 16, and Demetrius age 16 to 18. I want their youth to make their rape and mutilation all the more disturbing. So, I've got my cast. What would my production look like? Well, I've got a couple of concepts I'd love to explore in this play. The first is a fairly modern dress production with no defined time or place. I'd want to use the more physical cast above with Neeson and Jolie in this production. The main focus of this concept would be the metaphor of wood, standing in for the human body, as we discussed earlier in the blog this week. Except for a few hand props and the occasional table and chair brought in, this will be done on a bare stage, because the primary visual focus would be on an ever-growing wall of black coffins upstage against a white backdrop. As the play opens, there would seem to be 16 coffins stacked on stage, a row of six, with another row of six stacked on those, and then what will be a row of five centered on the second row six, with a space left for one coffin in the center. Or at least that's how it will appear. In reality, it'll be a single solid structure. In the center of the bottom so-called row of coffins, there will be a hidden door, one that opens upstage away from the audience. You'll see why in a minute. In the opening scene, when Titus returns from war, his procession will include 5 additional coffins that will, over the course of the scene, be hoisted by a rig and pulley to stack on the existing coffins. At that point, there will be 21 on the wall, one for each of Titus's fallen sons. Then, as characters are killed off in the play, additional coffins will be brought out and placed center stage in front of the wall of coffins, and in front of that hidden door that we talked about. These coffins will have false backs, the side upstage away from the audience, but the audience won't know it because of the full fronts, the downstage side. The bodies of the actors playing the dead characters will be placed in the coffin, the lid put on, and during this time, with the audience's attention diverted by the coffin lid attachment, the actor will slide out of the false back of the new coffin and through the hidden door in the wall. The coffin will then be hoisted up and placed on the wall. By the end of the play, the stack will be 7 rows tall, over 14 feet, and it will start at 42 feet wide and taper to 14 feet wide at the 7th row. Needless to say, this will be the dominant visual design element. And there's a link on this podcast's entry page to a flash movie that shows the exact sequence of coffins and their configuration. Now, the second concept is one borrowed from both The Persecution and Assassination of Jean-Paul Marat as performed by the inmates of the asylum at Charenton under the direction of the Marquis de Sade, also known as Marat Sade, by Peter Weiss, and a recent revival of Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street. The concept here is to set the production in an insane asylum, with the inmates acting out the play. I would use my cast above, except with Rickman and Linney instead of Neeson and Jolie. I think the use of mad men and mad women acting out, and I mean that in both connotations, the roles might mitigate some of the histrionics, as well as some of the over-the-top grotesqueness of the humor in the play. And the fact that the inmates could only mime the violence might lower the cringe factor as well. For example, I see Lavinia's mutilation accomplished by inmates wrapping her hands in red gauze strip bandages so that the hands would no longer be visible or usable. The same could be done over her mouth. And Titus's slashing of Chiron and Demetrius's throats could be accomplished by Titus dipping his thumb into a small bottle of red paint and then him drawing his thumb across their throats. This could be very, very interesting. Now, the third concept I have for a production would be done in the style of the Japanese Bunraku puppet theater. Bunraku uses large puppets as the characters. These puppets usually have up to 3 puppeteers, one for the face and the right hand, another for the left hand and body, and a third for the legs. The puppeteers dress all in black, including hoods, so as to disappear on stage. This use of puppets would allow for a very stylized view of the violence. In this type of production, physical casting wouldn't matter much, and star or name casting not at all. The readers would stand at the back of the stage dressed in black. As their parts came up, they would come downstage to stand near their characters' puppets to deliver their lines. Additional stage management crew, Grant, again, all dressed in black, could set up and break down any needed sets. The puppet style might also give enough distance between the audience and the horrific aspects to allow for real emotional connections to be made and for catharsis to be achieved. There's a link on this podcast's entry page to a YouTube movie that gives you an idea of what is involved in a Bunraku production. Okay, so there you have it. My Titus. Done. Our Titus, or at least our Titus month together, is done as well. Next week, a happier play, The Taming of the Shrew. Now, I know some feminists out there may not find taming a happy play, but hey, there are no deaths and no children get eaten. See you next month. Been listening to the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for August 30th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.